It's Marketplace Tech for Monday, August 14th. I'm Ben Johnson. This week, among the stuff being stuffed into a SpaceX 12 rocket and shot towards the International Space Station is a computer system housed in a white tower not unlike the ones you've looked at in the Best Buy aisle. It's being called the Spaceborne Computer. The laptops used by astronauts usually on the ISS need to be replaced frequently, both because they go out of date and because they degrade quickly out in low Earth orbit. This computer will be tested for a year in the hopes of helping us get a rugged, lasting machine like it onto Mars. It's built by Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. Mark Fernandez is High Performance Computing Technology Officer at HPE. Mark, thanks for talking.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Break it down for me. What is the Spaceborne Computer?
The Spaceborne Computer is a joint effort between NASA and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. And one of the goals is to get state-of-the-art technology on board the International Space Station and to test it for at least a year. 1 year is the length of time we anticipate it will take for a mission to Mars. And we kind of want to make sure that our computers and supercomputers and other IT components can endure that trip.
I understand that you guys have had a long partnership with NASA, but I think a lot of folks would kind of wonder to themselves, I don't know, the government's computers seem to have worked pretty darn good on spacecraft for the entirety of the American space program. Why does a private company need to get involved with something like this? Why do we need an off-the-shelf supercomputer, so to speak, going up there? How would you answer that?
So most of the computers on board the ISS are purpose-built for specific functions related to the flight and operation of the ISS. For example, they've got a navigation computer, and it only does navigation, and there are two backups to that. This one is unique in that it is a general-purpose, high-performance computer system. So scientists wishing to do science can now have a platform with which they're familiar and begin to exploit those capabilities while in orbit rather than bringing all of that data back down to Earth and using the similar computational capabilities they probably have right down the hall in their office.
This is something that might be a little more familiar to what they have in their office or maybe even on their desk.
Yes, absolutely.
Does it let them surf Facebook, though?
We're pretty nerdy scientists. There are no games on board. There's no keyboard or monitor. This is strictly for crunching numbers for the benefit of the scientists and the community.
Mark Fernandez, he is High Performance Computing Technology Officer at Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and lead payload developer for this project. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
One of last week's strangest stories was a report that State Department workers in Cuba might have suffered from an acoustic attack. According to multiple reports, devices put into the homes of several diplomats and their spouses gave the inhabitants symptoms of concussions and hearing loss by playing sounds outside of the normal range of human hearing. Let's talk weaponized audio technology with Suzanne Cusick, professor of music on the Faculty of Arts and Science at New York University. Suzanne, exotic as it sounds, is it fair to say there's an acoustic weapons industry?
There is a business there that was promoted in the late 1990s by a commission appointed by President Clinton and headed by Richard Cheney to develop so-called non-lethal weapons.
Uh-huh.
And one of their programs was to develop acoustical weapons. The principal North American manufacturers, as far as I know, is now called the Long Range Acoustical Weapon Corporation. And the technology itself is pretty smart. It's available for sale. A couple of years ago, you could buy one for your yacht for $35,000.
What parts of the human body, and I guess mind, if you want to go there as well, are susceptible to this kind of thing?
Humanly audible sound can, at high enough volumes, can cause all kinds of physiological damage from gastric distress to dizziness to chronic high blood pressure.
There has been some skepticism toward what we've heard from the State Department about these workers in Cuba. What are your thoughts after reading the story?
I thought that it was pretty unlikely that people who had experienced an acoustical weapon aimed at them would feel the kinds of symptoms that are reported right away. But when I read the article, I thought of ultrasonic sound rather than infrasonic.
Right. Frequencies above the average
above
human hearing.
And that could cause some kind of damage that I don't know anything about.
Suzanne Cusick is professor of music on the Faculty of Arts and Science at New York University. Suzanne, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And as the summer continues, we continue to make a Summer Tech Jam playlist with you. Only rule, the song in title, lyrics, or instrumentation has to be techie in some way. What it lacks in musical seriousness, this Weird Al track from listener Jerry Cordaro makes up in nerdism.
It's all about the pennies. What? You gotta be the dumbest newbie I've ever seen. You've got white out all over your screen.
And this one was one of my all-time favorite songs in high school, 21st Century Digital Boy from Bad Religion. Thanks to Rob Jones for that one. Submit yours to me on Twitter. Use hashtag SummerTechJam. I'm at the Brock Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.